Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Hopefully you can all recite those words along with me, as you would have likely memorized them during your confirmation instruction. This verse from Romans chapter 6, our epistle lesson this morning, is the biblical proof for Martin Luther's answer to the question, what does baptizing with such water indicates? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And here we see that baptism is not a once-and-done kind of event. It's not some neat little ceremony that's relegated to the photo album or the attic. Rather, the one-time event of baptism has lifelong effect for you. It's like marriage in this regard. Though you could say, I was married, and that would be accurate, as you were married on a certain date at a certain place. Nevertheless, it's better to say, I am married. For what happened on that date at that place most definitely affects you today. In the same way, though you could say, I was baptized, and that would be true, it's much better to say, I am baptized. For that is who you are. Your identity, your very being, is now rooted in your baptism, regardless of when it happened, even if you were only a few days old when it took place. So then, what is the ongoing importance of your baptism in your daily life? It is just this, that the old Adam in you should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. More often than not, this is what we focus on, and that's well and good. For baptism is lived out in the repentance of sins, in confession and absolution, in faith toward God, who forgives all our sins. But that's not the only significance of baptism. There's also fervent love for the neighbor. The significance, the importance of your baptism is also that this, the new man, should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And so the baptismal life of the Christian, the new life we have in Jesus, is one of faith and good works. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A new life. Perhaps that's why this epistle, Romans 6, has been assigned to this Sunday of the church year along with Matthew chapter 5, in which Jesus preaches about murder. If baptism means living a new life, then to be unbaptized is to be without life. It is to be under the power of the devil, of whom Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. Yes, if baptism is life, unbaptism is murder. And this becomes all the clearer as Jesus expounds what all is entailed in this fifth commandment, you shall not murder. The new life of baptism is to love your neighbor as yourself. The anti-life of unbaptism is to be angry with your brother. The new life of baptism is to encourage one another and to build one another up. The anti-life of unbaptism is to insult your brother. The new life of baptism is to defend your neighbor, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. The anti-life of unbaptism is to say to your brother, "You fool." You see, baptism unites the Christian with Christ, who came into the world not with anger nor with insulting speech toward foolish sinners, but rather with mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. But to be unmerciful, without compassion, and unwilling to forgive is to be utterly unlike Christ. It is to live outside of your baptism, which united you with him. And therefore, if you are baptized, if you are a Christian, you simply cannot live like that. You cannot harbor anger and bitterness in your heart against your brother for slights both real and imagined, big or small. You cannot insult your brother, whether to his face or behind his back. You cannot call your brother a fool as though you and not God himself were judge of the living and of the dead. Moreover, as Jesus continues in our text today, you cannot live in unresolved conflict with your brother, unwilling to confess your sins to one another because of pride or apathy. Examine yourselves this morning. Is there someone in this congregation, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, whom you are unwilling to forgive? Is there someone whom you consider to be lower, less important, less worthwhile than you are? Is there someone you have hurt by your words of gossip or slander? Is there someone whom you have wronged and you refuse to amend that relationship by admitting your guilt? Repent. Your sins are just as damning as others' sins against you. You are just as poor and miserable as the next sinner. And your secret sins are just as appalling as the ones you know about your neighbor. You are no better than anyone else. And your anger, your hurtful words, your unwillingness to forgive or to ask for forgiveness is not the fruit of new life in baptism. Rather, it indicates the anti-life of unbaptism, that is, unbelief, which ends only with judgment, death, and the hell of fire. This is no joke. There are many who were baptized who fell away from that baptism, fell into the hell of fire for eternity. Repent. That is, return to your baptism once more in contrition, sorrow over your sins, and in faith that Jesus Christ truly suffered and died for you, to take away the penalty for all your sins. Consider, he was liable to judgment and found guilty, though he was innocent. He was liable to the council, to the Sanhedrin, who cried out with one voice, "Crucify him!" He bore the fiery wrath of the Father against your sin and the sins of the whole world. All that you deserved by your sins, he bore in his body on the cross. He was falsely accused and handed over to the judge, Pontius Pilate, and the judge to the guards, the Roman soldiers, and crucified. And thereby he paid to the last penny the price of death, which you had deserved because of your sins, in order to make you free, blameless, innocent before God, both now and forevermore. In baptism, you have been united with Jesus, baptized into Christ's death. You have been united with him in a death like his. You shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Baptism works the forgiveness of sins. It rescues you from death and the devil. It gives eternal salvation to you and to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. In short, as St. Peter writes, baptism now saves you. Through baptism, God has given you his Holy Spirit to create and sustain within you faith, faith in your hearts. And all this he does daily and richly. In baptism, therefore, you have received the only righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus' own righteousness, which you have received by grace alone as a gift. It is not earned or deserved. You haven't made yourself righteous by your works. But that doesn't make you a hypocrite for having it. For God has declared it to be yours. He has given it to you by his unfailing word. What he says goes. And so when he declares you to be righteous for Jesus' sake, apart from your own efforts, you are. You truly are. And this we call justification. Baptism justifies you. You live a new life. But again, that new life is not just one of justification by grace alone. That new life is also one of sanctification. The body of sin having been brought to nothing, you are no longer enslaved to sin. This not only means that sin cannot claim you any longer for hell, but it also means that you have been set free to resist sin, to do good works, for the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And this is clearly seen, as we heard in our gospel lesson today, in loving your neighbor, in forgiving, and in being forgiven. The law, which always accuses, does not just accuse. For as Christians, it also instructs, it guides. And so for you, Jesus' words in Matthew 5 today not only serve to show you your sins, although they have, these words also serve to instruct you, to guide you in the new life of baptism. You should forgive those who trespass against you. You should speak words that build up your neighbor, even if those words are words of rebuke and correction. You should love your brother, the brother for whom Christ died, the brother whom Christ has also washed clean in holy baptism. And when your brother has something against you, you should be reconciled to him, and then come together and worship the Lord. You should do all these things, for you are baptized into Christ. You live a new life. To be sure, that new life is not perfected yet in this fallen world. Sin remains a danger. It still threatens to drag away from Christ in heaven to the devil and hell. That life of unbaptism still tempts us to fall with promises of pride and power. And therefore, you should continue to struggle against the old Adam, daily drowning him in contrition over your sins and repentance. You should daily strengthen the new man, hearing the word of God, receiving the Lord's Supper, daily devoting yourselves to the study of Scripture and prayer. For it's through these, as through means, that the new man emerges and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Is this righteousness, the righteousness of grace and not of works, the righteousness given to you in your baptism, is the only righteousness beyond that of the scribes and Pharisees, the only righteousness that opens the kingdom of heaven to you? And God grants it to you continually here. Here on earth, in the daily drowning and emerging, the daily dying and arising through faith. Jesus Christ suffered and died for you. For his sake, your sins are forgiven, and eternal life is given to you by grace alone. That faith God counts as righteousness in his sight. It is therefore real and trustworthy. So also are your good works real and trustworthy. Those good works of love and forgiveness for your brothers, done in you and through you by God. That new life of baptism began on the day when you were washed at the font. You were baptized, but it didn't remain there in the past. You are baptized. In this new life, you live each and every day here on earth. You are baptized. And with that identity, in that very being, you remain by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Today, tomorrow, and into eternity. In Jesus' name.